Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago. Alonzo Stagg was born in 1862, and when Robert Maynard Hutchins took over as Chancellor of the University of Chicago, he stopped football. And of course, at Stagg Stadium in the University of Chicago, there was the first successful nuclear fusion occurrence. Our experiment that was successful with Enrico Fermi, it's a National Heritage Site today. And, of course, if you go to Chicago, you can see that. But there was no more football at the University of Chicago. And, of course, Robert Maynard Hutchins, a liberal, ended up at down in Santa Barbara, California. 1894, one of the most controversial union leaders in America was born, George Meany. George Meany supported the Vietnam War, but bragged that he never served when he was able to in World War II. 1897, we had Robert Ringling, who was part of the Ringling Brothers Circus. There are a lot of people, growing number of people, think that circuses have become not relevant anymore, and that animals are abused. And if people want to see animals, they should either go to a shelter or go to the ocean. There's also a lot of video on the web that you can see animals. You don't have to touch. You certainly aren't going to touch a snake or a lion or any animal that could harm you. And if you remember Davy Crockett and the coonskin hat, 1925, Jess Parker, who made several movies, he was born on this day. Among the deaths, we had Elvis Presley in 1977 and Amanda Blake, Miss Kitty, in Gunsmoke. She died in 1989 at the age of 60. Among the events today, in 1812, General Hull surrendered Detroit and Michigan to the British in the War of 1812. And some people say, we don't have to surrender it, just give up Detroit to Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Maybe they know how to run a city more successfully and keep it in the black. In 1861, Lincoln proclaimed that all states in the Union were prohibited from trading with any state in the Confederacy. In 1863, Lincoln proclaimed the Emancipation Proclamation. Now, what's not remembered about the Emancipation Proclamation, Lincoln, the ever-clever railroad lawyer, put in a clause which said, if the South came back into the Union, they would work out the slavery issue. And Lincoln always thought that the slaves, the blacks, should be allowed to return to Africa, Liberia. This is not not well publicized by people who have canonized Father Abraham. Lincoln once said if he could save the Union without freeing the slaves, he would. So, you know, he was a railroad lawyer for the Illinois Central Railroad. In those days, being a lawyer for the railroads was a license to steal and do other things. In 1896, gold was discovered in the Klondike, and so there was a Klondike gold rush up in that part of Canada and in Alaska. A lot of interesting movies came out there, and even some of the great writers went up there, Jack London, a lot of people. It's still an interesting area today. 1939, the U.S. occupation of Haiti ended, and of course, General William Smedley Butler of the U.S. Marine Corps, he was involved in a lot of these military expeditions. He later wrote a book, later kept saying that war is a racket, and that he did save the United States, the presidency, from being overtaken, from being overthrown. We do have that booklet was given to us for distribution, and we'll break it down into DVDs. 1936, the last of the Olympic Games before World War II ended in Berlin, and I think we'll just play again. I think it's important that we all remember the contributions of people like Jesse Owens and Ralph Metcalf. If I can find my, here we go. We're running a little slow today, and I've had some ailments I've had to take care of. And I think this is really important. I'll play it again because more and more both black and white athletes are involved in drugs and a lot of other things. And these guys weren't. They were athletes, and they gave, they created respect for the United States. And they later went into politics, both of them, as a matter of fact, Chicago politics. So here is Jesse Owens. Let me see, where is he? After winning the 1936 Olympics, I think we'll play this again.
Jesse, what was your biggest thrill in Germany?
Well, Bill, the biggest thrill in Germany was when I won the 100-yard dash and the American flag went up and they were playing the Star Spangled Banner.
That was very copacetic. Now, how did you like the German meals?
Well, the German meals were all right, but it took too long to get them.
Jesse, what is your immediate plan?
My immediate plan for the present time is that I'm going back home. I'm going back to the university to finish my year in college. I have another year, as you all know, and I want to get my degree in the end of June.
Will you turn professional?
Turn professional, I do not know. As I said before, I have another year in school, and I haven't any plans about turning professional whatsoever.
How are you going to pick him up?
We're not taking him. Jesse, what was your biggest thrill in Germany?
Well, my biggest thrill was when I won the 100-meter dash, and the American flag went up, and they were playing the Star Spangled Banner, and we stood up there and salute, and it was really a marvelous thing.
That was very copacetic. Now, how did you like the German meals?
Well, the German meals were fine, but it took a little bit too long to get them.
Now, the issue about saluting the Nazi flag, this is came up in even in the 1936 Olympics, and I'll play this clip right now.
Well, no. The French team gave the Olympic salute. Thousands of Germans in the stand mistook it for the Nazi salute, and they roared their approval. The Italian team passed in review. They paid their homage to Chancellor Hitler. came from Great Britain. No chance for speculation. We were told to place our hats over our hearts. The crowd did not like it. Every nation dipped its flag to the Fuhrer as it passed the Chancellor's box. Every nation but one. The United States flag has never been dipped. Women of Canada. This was the supreme moment for Chancellor Hitler. The German team passed in review. 600 men and women. Members of the military. The Chancellor would now formally open the games. I proclaim open the Olympic Games of Berlin, celebrating the 11th Olympiad of the modern Olympic era. Their message to the world. An invisible signal directs them over the marathon gate and the altar that will hold the Olympic flame. Now the great moment has come. The Olympic flame arrives at the stadium.
Before the World War One, because in September 1939, Hitler invaded Poland. And there would have been an Olympics had there been no war. There would have been an Olympics in 1940. So that's where that's at. Now, among the interesting things today, the other events, Adlai Stevenson was the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party not once but twice in 1952 and in 1956. And here is a brief comment by Adlai Stevenson, who was governor of Illinois. Incidentally, a lot of people don't know this, but in Adlai Stevenson's gubernatorial cabinet, he ran a reform administration in Illinois. Can you believe that? Well, one of the financial directors was Richard Daley, who later became mayor of Chicago. Richard Daley, I believe, had a degree in accounting, and he may have studied law. He was George Christopher and him got along very well because George Christopher, mayor of San Francisco, had a degree in accounting. So here is Adlai Stevenson in 1956. As he is 1956 presidential candidate.
I have not sought the honor you have done me. I would not seek your nomination.
That was, 1952. Now, Adlai Stevenson got the nomination twice. He sought it a third time in 1960. The Democrats said, "You're a two-time loser, forget it." Adlai Stevenson was wooden. I did see him on the streets when I worked at the federal courthouse in Chicago. He was a nice guy. He died early. I think he was 65. He was walking down the street in New York and dropped dead of a heart attack. His son later became governor of Illinois. Interesting guy. He nearly ran me over with his car. It was an accident. I ducked in time. It was something was avoided. But anyway, he lived in Liberty, Illinois, which wasn't far from my school in Des Plaines. And here he is talking about the high cost of living. This is 1956.
That's my daughter-in-law, Nancy, and my oldest son, Adley Jr. He's a student at law school. I think they're staying with me during the vacation. I think they live pretty well, but they're learning a lot about something that worries a lot of people in this country, and that, of course, is the high cost of living. In spite of the Eisenhower promise, the cost of living today is higher than it's ever been before in the history of our country. And this is a serious matter for young people, like my son Adley and his bride Nancy.
Well, that's 1956, nearly 67 years ago. And has anything changed? Anyway, Adlai Stevenson was an interesting guy. He was the only recent Democratic presidential nominee whose father had been the vice presidential, also a candidate, and also had been the vice president in Grover Cleveland's cabinet. Fascinating guy, Adlai Stevenson. He was a one-term governor of Illinois, ran, reformed the state. I also wrote a beautiful thing about dogs, and I'll bring this up probably next week. We're going to do the show Tuesday instead of Monday because I'll be in the hospital. Now, among the other events today, the important things, Hearst bought the Hearst Empire bought the San Francisco Chronicle from the Fangs, who screwed it up, and they also got the Chronicle, which was started by two Dutch, the De Jongs, who were Dutch Jewish heritage, and started that paper by running a little scandal sheet and telling people who were caught up in scandal, Brown and people, we won't print anything about you if you make a donation, something like that. That's how that paper started. Of course, other papers started by the Vanderbilt started by selling liquor to the Indians, all kinds of strange things. But anyway, here's Hearst railing against taxes. Now, the Chronicle has become very liberal, and as William Randolph Hearst aged, he started out as the reformer, and this little clip from the movie Citizen Kane, I think it's very important, and I think, let me see, here we go. Adlai Stevenson rails against higher taxes.
My friends, this whole system of income taxation has degenerated into a racket. The sooner this impudent, intrusive, despotic, discriminatory, and perhaps revolutionary system of taxation is repealed, the better it will be for the honesty, the industry, the wealth, and the welfare.
Well, that's from the archives. Now, here is Citizen Kane. This is actually how Hearst started out as a reformer, and he was for the guy who couldn't, the citizen who couldn't, didn't have the economic or political power or the influence to speak for himself. And this is Orson Welles. This is a clip from the film Citizen Kane.
Is that really your idea of how to run a newspaper?
I don't know how to run a newspaper, Mr. Thatcher. I just try everything I can think of.
Charge, you know perfectly well there's not the slightest proof that this Armada's off the Jersey
Hello,
coast.
Mr. Bernstein.
Excuse me, Mr.
Can
Kane.
You prove it isn't?
This just
Mr. Bernstein,
in.
I'd like you to meet Mr. Thatcher.
I'll just go.
How do you do, Mr.
Leland?
Hello.
Mr. Thatcher, my ex-guardian.
Oh,
we have no secrets from our readers, Mr. Bernstein. Mr. Thatcher is one of our most devoted readers. He knows what's wrong with every copy of the Enquirer since I took over. Read the cable.
Girls delightful in Cuba, stop.
Could send you prose poems about scenery, but don't feel right spending your money. Stop. There is no war in Cuba. Signed, Wheeler. Any answer?
Yes, dear Wheeler, you provide the prose poems. I'll provide the war.
That's fine, Mr. Kane.
Yes, I rather like myself.
Better right away.
I came to see you about this campaign of yours.
This Enquirer campaign against the public transit company.
Mr. Thatcher, do you know anything we could use against them?
Still the college boy, aren't you?
Oh, no, Mr. Thatcher. I was expelled from college. A lot of colleges, you remember. I remember.
Charles, I think I should remind you of a fact that you seem to have forgotten.
Yes.
That you are yourself one of the largest individual stockholders in the public transit company.
The trouble is you don't realize you're talking to two people. As Charles Foster Kane, who owns 82,364 shares of public transit preferred, you see, I do have a general idea of my holdings. I sympathize with you. Charles Foster Kane is a scoundrel. His paper should be run out of town. A committee should be formed to boycott him. You may, if you can form such a committee, put me down for a contribution of $1,000.
My time's...
On the other hand, I am the publisher of the Enquirer. As such, it's my duty, and I'll let you in on a little secret. It's all for my pleasure. To see to it that decent, hardworking people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates just because they haven't anybody to look after their interests. I'll let you in on another little secret, Mr. Thatcher. I think I'm the man to do it, you see. I have money and property. I don't look after the interests of the underprivileged. Maybe somebody else will. Maybe somebody without any money or property.
Yes, yes,
and that
yes.
Would
money
be too
and property.
Bad.
Well, I happened to see your financial statement today, Charles.
Oh, did you?
Now, tell me honestly, my boy. Don't you think it's rather unwise to continue this philanthropic enterprise? This Enquirer that's costing you $1 million a year?
You're right, Mr. Thatcher. I did lose $1 million last year. I expect to lose $1 million this year. I expect to lose $1 million next year. You know, Mr. Thatcher, at the rate of $1 million a year, I'll have to close this place in 60 years.
Well, that was a great clip from Citizen Kane, and we will be back next week. Now, we had to put off the nuclear testing on animals and the effects of the atom bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the Bikini Atoll, and also we'll bring up Chernobyl. We'll do that next week. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker. Have a safe weekend. And we'll start on time Tuesday, and then we'll also be broadcasting on Wednesday. So here is, we don't know how many politicians played poker this weekend.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm
in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game for children, neither game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
Well, we'll be back Tuesday at 4 p.m. This is Peter Paul Brazola. have a safe weekend, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We hope to have up there the California official or a legislator who is driving a state car with a state special license plate, and this guy was texting. We were given this by the new shadow. So have a safe weekend, and don't text, don't talk on the phone, drive safely, and also if you're bicycling, bicycle safety.